Book of Colossians chapter 3 and we're starting from verse 1.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
Here the Saint Paul is saying, if you believe that you are risen with Christ, somebody will say, how am I risen with Christ? I am still on this earth. Once we believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what happened? God quickens your dead spirit. Then you are born again, child of God. Once you are born again, child of God, St. Paul says, first of all, your heart has to be changed. Then you have to be baptized, buried with Christ, and risen with Christ. That's why in this chapter he is saying, if you believe that you are risen with Christ, then you seek where Christ is. Now, Christ is everywhere. Christ is here. Christ is in your heart. Christ is in heaven. But he is saying, if you believe Jesus Christ went to heaven, then he is sitting at the right hand of God. So we have to believe that our mind, our heart should be there. According to book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, he says, we are also lifted up to heaven, and we are sitting where Christ is sitting. Please read that verse.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
When you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you are born again, child of God, we have nothing to do with this world. We are not the worldly people. We are living in this world, but we are living for Christ. And so we are the citizen of heaven. So many people are proud of their country, proud of their heritage, proud of American citizens. Thank God I'm American citizen, but I am so grateful to God that I am citizen of heaven.
Amen.
And not only citizen of heaven, we are sitting in heaven. It says, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means we are living on this earth, but the real man living with Christ in heaven. So St. Paul is reminding here, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That means your mind always should be occupied with Christ and thinking that I am belong to Jesus Christ. My mind is set on Christ. So I'm looking at Christ. Why are we looking at Christ right now? Because he promised that he's coming back. So our mind should be set on Christ. And then he says, set your affection on things above, not all things on the earth. So, in short, he's saying, don't look at the earthly things. Somebody says, we are living in earth, we have to eat, we have to go to work, we have to do the chores. How can we say we don't put your mind on this earth at all? What does it mean? Even though we are living in this world, you should be thinking, I'm not belong to this world. One of these days, I'm going to get out of this world. So we always preparing ourselves to go to the best home. That is heaven. And so when you're doing your chores, washing the dishes, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You're coming soon. Vacuuming, start talking about Jesus. Whatever the chores you're doing, think about God. Always. Before you go to bed, read the Bible. Meditate on the Word of God. When you get up, thank you, Jesus, I'm alive. And what I'm going to do for you today. So all the things, all the time, we should be thinking about God. We don't have to think about this world. You know how many people are worried about? Gas prices they are worried about. Home mortgages they are worried about. The food crisis they are worried about. The water they are worried about. All these things you worry, what will happen? Worry will kill you. We don't have to worry. If you are worrying, go home and read the Matthew chapter 6. Whole chapter will tell you not to worry. What that chapter is saying, the end of the chapter, he said, seek ye first, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All those things, or these things the world is going after, will be added unto you. I don't have to worry about food, I don't have to worry about shelter, I don't have to worry about clothes. I have to just think about my God. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19. Tell me, by heart you know these words. What he says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If my God is alive, I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will never come. Do you know that? Tomorrow will be always tomorrow. Why should I worry for tomorrow is not here? So I am just thanking God for today. I am living for Christ and I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about the worldly thing. I should be always thinking about heaven. Thinking about my God. Thinking about Jesus Christ is coming. And somebody says, if you keep on thinking like that, then how can you go to school? How can you go to work? Well, we're going to school. Before you go to school, say, Lord Jesus, I'm studying for you. If I want to be a lawyer, I want to be a right kind of lawyer. If I want to be a doctor, I want to be a real doctor. If I want to be a banker, I want to be a real banker. Whatever you do it for the glory of God. That's what God is teaching us. We are not living for us, we are living for God. Verse 3.
For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Now here it says, you are dead. Now the dead person will not do anything wrong, right? So if you are dead, that means dead for what? Dead to sin. I am not going to do any sinful activity. Why? Because I am dead. I am dead to sin. Dead man will not do anything wrong. What do you have to say? I'm dead. My hands are crucified. My heart is belong to God. I'm not going to do all those things because I am dead to this world. I'm dead to sin. Verse 4.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
See, the verse 3 says, for we are dead and your life is hidden in Christ. Now you are dead to sin, but your life is hidden in Christ. Now just think. I take something and open this and put something here. You cannot see what I kept it. So your life is hidden, means hidden in safe. Like a safe deposit, you put your treasure, nobody knows what you have in there. So he says your life is hidden in Christ. That means if somebody sees you, what they're supposed to see? Christ. They're not supposed to see you, but they're supposed to see Christ. Galatians chapter 3 verse 27, he says, put on Christ. When you're putting on Christ like a robe, so your nakedness nobody can see. So we are putting on Christ, and we are hidden in Christ. So he says, if you are hidden in Christ, now if your life is hidden in Christ, then you don't have your own life, because nobody see your life. So he says, your life is in hidden in Christ, and you belong to Christ, and now you don't have your own life, but you have life of Christ. Do you know if somebody loves their child, their husband or wife or somebody, you might have heard many a time, they said, this is my life. Whatever they love so much, they said, this is my life. Means, without that person, I cannot live. If that person, something happened to that person, I'll be dead. So they're thinking, that person is my life. The worldly people say, how much more we should be saying, Jesus Christ, who gave his life and took our life, means our dead life, the sinful life, carnal life. He took it on himself. Now he said, I'm going to give in exchange my life. So now we got the life of Christ. Amen. And we are hidden in Christ. So he said, what should you do now? So he said, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. How? Because he said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. That means Jesus Christ is coming. Now, if you read the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and start reading from verse 13 to 18, it says very clearly there, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then he says, how they're rising first? Because he says when he's coming, he is bringing their spirit with him. Let's go to the scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Start reading from verse 13.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
Sleeping means not regular sleep. The people who are dead in Christ, he will bring those people with him. That's what I was trying to say. Okay, go ahead.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Jesus Christ is coming. He's bringing all the people who are dead. And he says, if you are alive in Christ, you will be transformed. And then he takes us with him and we go back to heaven. And then this earth becomes like a hellfire for at least 7 years. And then we come back and then Jesus Christ destroys the enemy. And then we will have 1,000-year peaceful kingdom on this earth. So the word of God is saying, if you thinking that you want to be in the peaceful kingdom, you want to be in millennium, you want to live a good life, then what? Think about Jesus. He's in heaven. He's coming back. And then when you think my life is in hidden in Christ Jesus, then he says, then you believe that he's coming. And when he's coming, and then you will be in glory with Christ Jesus. That's what the fourth verse says. Colossians chapter 3 verse 4. Verse 5.
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
Now he says, what do you do then? You're living in this world, and all these sinful activities people are doing. Let's read 6th verse.
For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience.
Children of disobedience. If I am an obedient child, then I will be not doing fornication, unclean things, and robbing people, and doing all this covetousness. I would not do those things. So he says, who are doing this? Disobedient children. So here he's saying, only people who are disobeying God, those are the people who will do wrong thing. I don't have to worry about losing my salvation if I believe in Jesus Christ. But if I walk away from God and start doing idol worship, do you think God is going to preserve my salvation? No. God has given us freedom. We are not robots. We are the children of God. If I love the Lord, then I'm going to follow the Lord. So here he's saying, now one verse is very tricky here. You see, said, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Do you ever heard that? What is the covetousness? Do you know covetousness? You are thinking about somebody's thing. I should have that. Somebody has a Cadillac. I should have a Cadillac. Or I might get his Cadillac. Or somebody has a beautiful wife. Oh, I'm going to get that one. And so all these things is covetousness. So when you do covetousness, he said that is idol worship. Idol worship means what? You are putting your mind on that stuff, what you have, more than God. Amen. If you love money more than God, he said, oh, I don't love money more than God. I'll prove it to you. If you want to go to work on Sundays and do not want to go to church, now some people do not have Sunday off, that's a different thing. But you should be keep on working to get Sunday off. But if you say, I enjoy going and making more money, who wants Sunday to go to church and put money in an offering box? Economy is bad. We should save every penny for the rainy days. We should not be giving anything to church. So the Word of God says, you know, you are idol worship. You're doing idol worship because your mind is in money. There was a one man, very rich, working in the company and factory. You know Shambach? Shambach told him, sir, why don't you come to church? He said, oh, no. I am working hard and I'm saving money for the rainy days. So one day, he lost his job and he went to some other place and bought a row house. And somebody came to Shambach, do you know such and such a man? He said, oh, I know, he's a big man. He said, he's living in that row house. He said, I don't believe that, maybe somebody else. He said, no, that's the same man. When you talk to him, he said, Shambach, you remember what I said? I don't have time for God. I don't have time for church. And I'm saving a lot of money for the rainy days. He said, you know what? Let me tell you. When it rains, it pours. And all the money is gone. My house, big house, and everything is gone. Now I'm living in a row house. And then he repented. And he came to the Lord. And then God gave him prosperity back again. And he became rich again. What I'm trying to say. The Word of God says, if you set your mind in doing wrong thing, he said fornication, unclean things, and covetousness. Covetousness, which is idolatry. That means if you put your mind on certain things more than God, you're doing idol worship. Even your husband, your wife, your house, your children. Somebody says, what's wrong with that if I love my wife? You cannot love your wife more than God. You cannot love your mom and dad more than God. You cannot love your children more than God. You cannot love your husband more than God. That's what we said a few minutes ago. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. Kingdom of God, it should be first in your life. Not husband, wife, children, and this and that. So people are thinking, what you're teaching us, hate your children? No. The Word of God says, if somebody doesn't hate himself and take his cross and follow me, he's not worthy. What does that mean? You hate yourself means I am not living for me. I'm living for Christ. I'm not living for my wife. I'm living for Christ. I'm not living for my mom and dad. I'm living for Christ. Do you know one man said, Jesus, I want to follow you. He said, okay, come on. He said, you know what? Let me go and bury my dad and then I'll follow you. Yeah. What Jesus said, let the dead bury dead, you follow me. Somebody would say, Jesus is a cruel man. If the man is dead, and he says, let the dead man bury dead and you follow me. But Jesus was not a cruel man. That man who was going to follow Jesus, his father was not dead yet. What he was thinking, my father might be now 75. Let me stay there until he dies. And then I'll come. That's what he was saying. If his father was really dead, like a Jairus' daughter was really dead, what happened? Jairus' daughter dead and Jesus heard it. Somebody said, do not bother, master. Your daughter is already dead. What Jesus said? Have faith. And Jesus went and raised his daughter, right? If his father was dead, Jesus would go and raise his father. But the father was not dead. He was waiting until his father dies, and then he will follow the Lord. That's why Jesus says, let the dead bury dead. How can a dead people bury dead person? Each and every person who doesn't have God, they are dead. They are spiritually dead. They are walking dead, they are working dead, they are doing everything in dead. But Jesus Christ has quickened us. We are alive. We are not dead people. So that's why Jesus says, let the dead bury dead. So what the point here I'm trying to bring here, do not put your mind on other things. If you do, he said, that will be idol worship. And God hates idol worship. Our God is called jealous God. So in short, what he's trying to say, you should not be put your mind in something. Put your mind in God. When I am loving God, then what happened? God says, I will protect you. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. The verse 10 says, give your tithes and offerings to God. Verse 11, it says, then I will rebuke your devourer. Who is our devourer? John chapter 10, verse 10. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. So who gives life? Jesus. Who takes life? Devil. And who protects you? God. God says, when you start giving your money to God, then he says, I'm going to fight for you. We had the house, and next door, there was a house burned, totally burned, and only smoke came to our house, but our house was safe. Nothing happened to our house. What I'm living for? I'm living for Christ. And so let's go back to the word. Verse 6. Here is saying, now verse 5 it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. You're living in this earth. This is the time to prepare yourself to meet God. Somebody say, oh, when I go to heaven, I'll give up everything. How do you know you're going to go to heaven? You're not going to make it. You don't. Somebody says, oh, very foolishly, I go to church. So, God says, I see your heart. Not how many times go to church. If your heart does not belong to me, when I come, you will be left behind. Okay, verse 6.
For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience.
Now again he's saying, which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of what? Disobedience. Are we disobedient children? Jesus Christ was what? Obedient son. What the word of God says? When he took the baptism, the voice came from heaven. What did he say? This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Then the voice came again. Matthew chapter 17. He took Peter, James, and John, took him in the mountain. And he was transfigured, looked like God. And the Peter starts saying, oh, I see Elijah, I see Moses, and I see Jesus. Let's make three tabernacles or three houses for each of them. Before Jesus could say anything, Father spoke from heaven. What did he say again? This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. What does that mean? You don't have to hear the Moses or Elijah. Hear what Jesus says. And so listen to my son. That's what he's trying to say. So here the word of God is saying, don't walk according to disobedient children. We have belonged to God and we are going to obey God. If not, it says the wrath of God is coming upon the disobedient children. We have to be obedient children. Okay, verse 7.
In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds.
Okay, now he's saying, listen, you were doing all the things like a disobedient children before. When you didn't know Jesus. We all did. But when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, he gave me power to say no to bad things. Now I don't have any desire to drink liquor, drink tea, drink coffee, smoke a cigarette, or go to parties, or just have a desire to go for sightseeing and look around the world. All those desires are gone. Why? As I said earlier, my mind is set in God. I want to see what God wants me to do. I don't want to enjoy my life. I have more joy in Christ than smoking and drinking. And so here he's saying, if you start doing all of those things what you were doing before. Now you have to change. He says, all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, and all of these things coming out of our mouth, it should change. But as you start walking and you're going to say, I'm not going to curse anymore, blasphemy anymore. What kind of language you use when some people do something wrong to you? He said, watch your mouth. So we have to show the other people we are transformed people. We do not lie, we do not cheat, we don't fight, we do not be angry, we don't do anything wrong we used to do before. But now we are in Christ. So we are going to do what Christ wants me to do. That's what it is. Okay. And so he says, the old man should be gone and the old man's works should be gone. And so now the old man, who is the old man? Do you know? Old man is old Adam. New man is new Adam, Christ. So I'm not going to follow the old Adam. Old Adam, what he does? Commit sin. New Adam, what he does? Doesn't commit sin. So I follow new Adam, who gives me new life to not to commit sin. Okay, verse 10.
And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
See? He says here, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So what he's trying to say, God has created us in Christ Jesus as a new person. I'm going to put on Christ and let the whole world know me, not like me, but like Christ. So the people see me, they say, hey, you don't walk like other people, you don't talk like other people, you don't behave like other people. What's the problem? Say, I'm dead. I'm living in Christ. I am the ambassador of Christ on this earth. I'm living just for Christ. Do you know what the ambassador they do? They go to another country, they represent our country. They cannot say anything bad about our country to another country, then they cannot be ambassador. Ambassador always talk good about their country. So we cannot say bad about Christ and we are Christians. No. We say everything good what Christ has done and we are living in him, and without him we cannot live. So he says, Christ gives you knowledge. He gives you everything. We are just, Jesus Christ is the image of God. And we should be what? Image of Christ. One minister said, we are walking and talking Jesus on earth. Somebody says, how can you say that? We are not Jesus. Yes, we are. We are Christian followers of Christ. What Christ does, we do. He has called us to follow his steps. We are belong to him. Okay, verse 11.
Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering.
When we are in Christ, we have to give up this prejudice. The black, the white, the Spanish, Indians or all other nationality. But when you come to the church, we are all brothers and sisters. In Christ, there is no Jew, there is no Gentiles. There is no barbarian. There is no any other caste. We all belong to Christ. We should be loving everyone like his own my brother and my sister. Do you know if your bloodly brother and sister, what you have a common, it is much more common in the blood of Jesus Christ. Your fleshly brother may fight with you, may try to kill you, or may try to do something harm to you, still you say he's my brother. But if you are born by the blood of Jesus Christ, there's sure guarantee that brother will be with you in heaven. The physical brother is no guarantee. If he's not born again, we are going to see him in heaven. But the word of God says, go to the 1 John chapter 5 and first two verses, please read. We have to love the Lord, and the same time we have to love the brother in Christ Jesus.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him.
He said, now if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are born again. And if some other person believes Jesus Christ, he is born again from God. So what you have common, you are all born from the same Father. You are all born with the same blood. So what? We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Doesn't matter if somebody is from Africa or somebody is from America or somebody is from anywhere. Once we are Christ, when we are belong to Jesus, we are all one. There is no difference between language and nationality in Christ Jesus. That's what he's saying. But is all and in all one in Christ Jesus. So let's read the verse 12.
Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering.
If you are belong to God, then what you do? He says, then you have to have bowels of mercy. Means, you know, if somebody is suffering, a little child, and you cannot do anything, something happens to your belly. Something start having pain. How can I help that child? Or how can I help my loved ones? That's why some people get ulcer. If your loved ones having problem and you worried about them, that's why having problem. He said that's the kind of mercy and love and kindness should have in your bowels, in your heart, in your mind, to love somebody. And he said that's why he says you should have what? Meekness and long-suffering and kindness and mercy. How? Like you having from inner being. Now there are people working in the hospital, nurses. Most of the nurses are working for the paycheck. But there is a born-again Christian nurse will work in that hospital. Do you know how she will work? She will say, if somebody's patient is sick, she's saying, if this is my dad, or this is my mother, or this is my brother, how can I help? Ask my wife. When she was working, she's still nurse, but she was working in the hospital, she treated all the members like her own brother, father, mother, or sister. She said, I would think in my mind, if my brother was sick, if my mother was sick, if my dad was sick, how that person I'll treat? That's the way I'm going to treat. And that's why she worked in that hospital now 35 years in one hospital. Why I'm saying this? You have to have that kind of love deep down in your spirit. I don't have to brag about my wife. You will figure it out. When you go to next room, she's right in next room taking care of you. When you go from here, refreshment or something, she goes out of her way to love you and show you that you are a child of God. How can I help you? That comes from deep down. Nobody has to teach you. If you are born again, child of God, that should come from your bowels. That should come from your heart. That should come from your feeling, that you should be thinking, this is my brother. This is my sister. When you come to this church, I don't have to tell you. I treat each and every person as my own family member. You don't have to sign up the card or you don't have to sign up the membership paper. You come here for 10 years or you come for here 1 week. We treat you as the same family. That's what we do. Some of the churches you go, you cannot shake hands with the pastor. Pastor preaches, pastor disappears. But here, I am here with you all the time. If you call me anytime, I am there to minister to you. Why am I doing this? Somebody say, oh, you might be getting a very high salary. I'm not getting one penny from any church or any denomination. Since 1956 until today, I never took one penny salary, and I'm not planning to take rest of my life. You should be thankful to God. We got a pastor who doesn't go after money. He's going after souls. So he says that meekness and long-suffering should come humbleness from your spirit in your heart. Nobody has to train you. So if you're born again, child of God, Jesus Christ did it for us. We can do it for others. Okay, verse 13.
Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man hath a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye.
Right. Now this is what very important. He says, if you are a born-again child of God, if somebody did something wrong to you, you should not have a grudge. What he said? Forgive one another. I have seen some people come here and they disappear maybe 6 months. They disappear maybe 5 years. And they come back, we treat them the same. They never left. And that's the way we do. It's forgiving one another because God forgave us. Why should we keep grudge with somebody? Some people, you know, if somebody does something wrong and that person coming that way, they have umbrella. Put the umbrella this way. Don't even show the face to that person. That's not Christianity. He says when we are Christians, we have to love one another, forgive one another, and just think nothing happened. Put it under the blood. That's the way Christianity. There are some husband and wife. They fight and they don't talk 1 month. That's not a Christianity. You have to forgive and forget. You cannot keep grudge. You cannot be a Christian if you're doing like that. Okay, verse 14.
And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
Again, he's repeating in different ways. He says, why are you doing this? You are doing this because you have to say, I have the love of Christ. Put on charity. Charity is love. So put on love. So other people see you as a model of love. There should not be any hatred. There should not be any foul language. There should not be any anger, frustration. If you see somebody, you show them love of Christ. Your love should come from your heart. You should be putting on Christ and loving everybody like your brother and sister. We have to put on Christ and do everything by love. If my wife is sick, ask somebody how your husband treats you. If my wife tells me I'm sick, I will never allow her to do anything. Cooking, cleaning, dishes, driving, shopping, everything I do. You need my help, I'll do. Now yesterday, this is not my kind of job, but my wife likes to do. She said, let's go to church. I said, what are you going to do? We want to put some flowers there, we're going to erect this and this. Somebody came and said, look at your wife working hard. She said, she's working hard, she's killing me. I am tired working all these things. We went home, she's sitting. Could you give me a hand? I cannot get up. Now how much you work? She works so hard, she should say, oh, could you give me a hand? I cannot get up. Why? Work so hard. I said, why don't you limit yourself? Keep your strength for tomorrow a little bit. But point I'm making, I work with my wife. I help her in everything. That's called love. That's what it is. You don't have to teach anybody to love somebody. You have Christ in you. you put on Christ, put on the charity, and everybody will know how much you love. Verse 15.
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful.
What do you say? And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. What does it mean? Don't be panicked. Don't worry about anything. Don't have fight in your house. In some houses, they have fight all the time. Why? The peace of God is not ruling in your heart. If the peace of God rules in my heart, I don't have to worry about anything. No fighting, no wars. Because the wars happen when there is no peace. When Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, is ruling in your heart, you don't have to worry about fighting and war. And so what he say? Be thankful. Means what? If you have food, thank God. Don't worry about special dinners and special things. Whatever you have, say thank you. Whatever the clothes you have, thank you. Whatever the house you have, thank you. Whatever the car God has given, thank you. Thank you for everything. When you start thanking for God what he has done, the word of God says, if you are thankful for little thing, he will do great things. Verse 16.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
See, this is very good. When you come into church, this is what people are supposed to do. They should have the Christ wisdom in them, and when they come, singing and praising and glorifying God and doing everything with the grace, whatever you do, singing, do it from your heart. Somebody says, you know, I don't like hymns, so I don't go to church. I go after hymns are finished. One man came here, he said, you know, I came to your church and felt like a dead church. I said, why? Because you people are singing hymns. I said, sir, our church, we have old people like hymns. Some young people like some different songs. So we have a mixture of songs. We play with some of the songs with the drum. We play some of the songs without a drum. So he said, well, I don't like that kind of church. I said, sir, then find some church. We are not coming here just for singing. You're coming here to hear the word of God. But if you're coming, then you say, if you have songs, the hymns, the spiritual songs, and everything should have with the grace and mercy of God. We are coming here to rejoice in the Lord. We should not say, oh, they didn't sing my song today. So whatever we're doing for the glory of God. As somebody said, don't sing that song. I don't like. We are not doing for that. We are coming here to enjoy with everybody. We sing, we do everything. If you clap hand or you raise your hand, do everything. Some churches, they say, hey, don't speak in tongue here. Don't show loud here. Usher, take that person to another room. We don't do that. We want to allow everybody to enjoy the service when you come to the Lord, because we are doing everything gracefully and doing everything for the glory of God. Let's read following verses. We are finishing. Don't worry.
And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
He says, whatever you do, you do it for the glory of God. And you do it from the heart. Anything you do, do it for the glory of God. And so once you start doing like that, you will not have any problem. We work, do anything, doing for the glory of God. Okay, let's go.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God.
Okay, but singleness of heart, fearing God. Wives, husband, children, father, servant, anybody doing anything, doing for the Lord. And how? singleness of heart. If you really love the Lord, then you're not going to hate your wife. If you really love the Lord, you're not going to hate your husband. If you really love the Lord, you're not going to hate your children. If you love the Lord, you're not doing the injustice to servants or masters. Because whatever we are doing for the Lord. We are here to please God, not to anybody else. Okay, verse 23.
And whatsoever ye do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men.
Okay, again he's repeating, whatsoever you do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. What does it mean? Whatever I'm doing for the Lord. And that's the key. If you're going to work, I'm going for the Lord. If I'm doing anything in my house, I'm doing for the Lord. And if you keep that thing in your mind, you will never go wrong. Verse 24 and 25.
Knowing that of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons.
God says, I don't have any prejudice over people. Only God judge people, are you doing right or are you doing wrong? He is not saying who is white, who is black, who is Indian, who is Korean. That's the way he's not judging. He says, I'm going to judge them. Are they doing right thing? Are they loving me, following me? And that's the only judgment he has. He said, if you're not doing right, then the wrath of God will come upon you. If you do something right, you are going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's the only, he said, here is the death, here is the life. Choose what? He said, choose life. God doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants us to go to heaven. But it's in our hand. It's not in God's hand. It's our hand to choose the right thing or choose the wrong thing. Whatever you do, according to that, you will be judged. That's what he says. You know, he is not respect of any person. He likes everybody. But he's going to judge you. If you do wrong, then you will have punishment. If you do right, you will inherit the kingdom of God. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Lord Jesus, give us grace to follow you. We are going to put on Christ and let the whole world see that we are belong to Christ. We are going to love one another, forgive one another, and we are going to bring the whole world to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Give us grace to live a real, real Christian life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.